the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. Rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. Yes. It's going by the book.
Well, here we are again. Oh, this evening, welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study. Tonight, I just realized, actually, we're going to talk about my theme song. It's going by the book. We're going to talk about the book of Revelation tonight. It just seemed a natural progression. This was not planned. Daniel, we end up talking about thoroughly. Well, at least to understand it to a certain extent, not thoroughly. Then it worked out being Isaiah. And a natural progression would be Book of Revelation tonight. That's what we're going to talk about. And we'll talk about starting off with Book of Revelation and Matthew 24. Matthew 25. If I don't get to Matthew 25... tonight, we'll do a part two on Monday. We'll see how far we get. These are events yet to happen. Today, the Bible is taught as a history book. It's not a history book. It's got some history in it. It's a book of prophecy. A lot has not happened that's in the Bible that's yet to happen. Daniel prophesied, listen, before I dedicate the broadcast, look, I want to point something out clearly. When Daniel interpreted or gave or knew the dream that another man dreamed, a king, and was confident enough to tell him, that didn't come from Daniel. How's one man know so much detail about another man, woman, whatever, his dream? First point. Second point. When Daniel was given the interpretation, And he talked about the feet of iron and clay. He's talking about the Roman Empire. Family, these are all tribes. Hadn't even come together yet. Notice each one, Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, Alexander, and an empire that wasn't even formed up. It was still tribes in a pagan existence in Europe. Can you imagine? You all pagans, long, scraggly hair, all over Europe are going to be a great nation one day. Is this guy crazy or what? It happened, though. Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, Alexander, Caesar of Rome were all antichrists, but not the one. Notice there's one at each level, an antichrist. Hitler was to be one. Never happened. It's God's time, not man's. So which one is the last? Well, it wasn't Cyrus, because he knew that another kingdom was supposed to form. Ended up being Alexander. Well, Alexander, another kingdom supposed to form, is going to destroy itself. Predicting it's going to form is the first thing. 2,500 years in the future. Whoa! That's not coming from man. That's coming from God inspiring a prophet that was righteous. And you see that God uses unrighteous men, Nebuchadnezzar, to bring his dreams. But he used a righteous man to interpret it. That made it more believable to everybody and to Nebuchadnezzar. You know, I bet you that if you were to tape me saying Nebuchadnezzar, you wouldn't hear me say it twice at the same time. Anyway, I know some of you are smiling or grinning right now. Oh, well. Let's dedicate the frog guest. And we're going to talk tonight, and it seems to pop up on the headlines, the Olivet Discourse, which is really a summation of everything we've talked about so far. It just works out. Just like that. I'd like to tell you, well, I had this plan 2 weeks ago. No, I can't do that because I didn't. I can't tell you I had it planned at all. Lord, thank you tonight. We come together in the name of your Son, Jesus. We pray. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come together. Thank you, Lord, for this network. Lord, most of all, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for your holy word in the King James Bible, that Father will give us that knowledge, wisdom, discernment that comes from the Holy Spirit. And Lord, to learn and to understand with discernment that you give us what's yet to come. Lord, guide us tonight as we go over this prophecies given to John, given to Matthew. The Father tells us what the time is to come yet that we can be able to identify when that day comes and the end times begin. Father, grant us that discernment, grant us that wisdom. Bring out those in all the churches, Father, that's going to speak out. Whistleblowers in the government. And most of all, whistleblowers in the military. That's going to expose all the corruption, the witchcraft that's being conducted. And Father, that they'll put a stop to the taking of these children. Father, we pray for them. That you expose this agenda, that expose Satan's game of his agenda for taking children. Father, divine appointment set up for those contemplating suicides. We know it's strong today. We need supernatural help, Lord, from you. These divine appointments to thwart these suicides. Father, we pray for next week that you'll lead us again. Until that time comes, Lord, that we're in this all together. Father, we do pray for our families to come together, that you wake up those that seek the knowledge and have a hunger for the word. That these churches, these religions have held them back. That, Lord, they'll shake off the chains of religion and seek the truth about Jesus. Through that, we need much help, Lord, through the supernatural. And bring families together to talk about these things. To lead the children. And the children to lead the parents. The wife to lead the husband to lead the wife in the search of the truth. That these sanctify each other. All these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, you'll find when you read all the prophets of the Old Testament, New Testament, major prophets, minor prophets, they all coincide. Nobody contradicts each other. Revelation 1:19, King James Bible. Jesus said to John, this is after he ascended, by the way, supernaturally, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Jesus' statement to John indicates a kind of a threefold division to the book of Revelation. And so when you read it, you'll find that the first division of the book of Revelation are the things which you've seen. And has to do with John's initial vision of Christ. Because that's what he is in prison for, really. To listen to the words with nobody bothering him. Christ, in Revelation 1:10-20, it follows the book's prologue, actually. The second division are things which are. And it encompasses the letters to the seven churches. It's found in chapters 2 and 3. Things you've seen. The things which are. Chapters 2 and 3. And the third division comprises most of the book of Revelation. 4 to chapter 22. Quite a spread there. It actually details the things which shall take place after these things. So this threefold division gives a chronological framework for the whole book of Revelation. Of things that's yet to come. Supported by all the major prophets and minor prophets. Old Testament and New Testament. So the first two divisions of Revelation cover the past and the present. And when you go to chapter 1, John pretty much records his vision of the living, glorified Christ. And he's reminded at this point that the Lord Jesus is the sovereign Lord. He's not sharing it with anybody. So then chapters 2 and 3 are letters written by the Lord of the church of the seven churches in Asia Minor, as using his symbology. So, there are certainly more than seven churches in Asia Minor. when this book was written, certainly. So the question is, why are they called the seven churches? Well, these seven churches, historically, were selected because they represent seven spiritual conditions that churches today, any age, will fit in. They represent churches throughout the church age, from John's day until this rapture coming. And I'm not going to get into pre-trib, mid-trib. There's no sense in that. Forget about rapture. That's God's time. That's God's business, not ours. And nobody knows. Everybody claims, oh, it's a pre-trib rapture. No, it's not. I'm a Christian too. It's mid-trib. No, it's post-trib. All y'all wrong. And I just say, ask them. And I have to all of them as I go along. Okay, it's a post-trib rapture. Okay. So when's the tribulation? Silence. Okay, it's a pre-trib rapture. Lehey. All right. Well, hey, can you tell me, hey, what's the tribulation? There'll be silence because he don't know. So why get all bent out of shape over pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no rapture, whatever? Because you don't know when it's going to be. However, the division is caused to create a division. Arguing over things they have nothing to have to do with. That's what Matthew 25 talks about. What happens to the when you don't pay attention? We'll get to that. Church age. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. Now, there's been some discussion among groups as to whether these churches are of prophecy. That is, do they represent seven consecutive periods of time? Or seven at the same time? That gets a little sticky. There's been some support for the possible of position from credible theologians on both sides. And the view seems to lack the clarity. The immutable clarity that's needed to make it strong. You don't have it. And it's best to understand the seven churches as representation of the entire church age. That's a safe assumption. Now, this third division, chapter 4 to 22, that is the focus of Revelation and the chronology. It follows the age of the church, which goes between chapter 2, verse 1, and chapter 3, verse 22. And that's evidenced by just a simple statement, after these things in 4:1. Because it says, after these things, then goes into it. So this division begins with the heavenly scene of the throne of God. That's where all authority for ruling and judging resides. Jesus will no longer be your intercessor. This time he'll be your judge. Intercessory is now to God, because he's the only one that can do it. And that's through the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit work? You know, the best way I could describe it, and Lord knows I don't know it all at all, no stretch of imagination, but I try to bring it down to understandable so I can explain it from my old country mind. Think of it as your body. Your head is God. Godhead. Controls everything. Knows everything. You've got your nerve endings and your blood and all this throughout the body. The brain controls it, the brain, the nervous system and all that. Now, each cell, millions and millions of cells that make up your body, every cell is a human being. Now let's get graphic. I'll take a pen, and I'll stick you with that pen somewhere on your body. Now, you're going to get angry at me. You may slap me, I don't know. But I'm going to stick you with that pen, and you'll know exactly where I stuck it. You'll know that cell exactly. And then if I stick you somewhere else, the same thing. If I pinch you somewhere, you'll know that. If you got a rash somewhere, you know where it's at. You know what cells it is. Immediately. I kind of see that the way God does. The Holy Spirit is your blood. It's your nervous system that knows where every cell is and what's going on with every one of them at the same time. That's the best I can do. Now, the throne is symbolic of authority. It is mentioned 17 times in the two chapters because its issue is appoint who has the authority to judge and rule the world and the universe. Not a trick question. We know that the Lord Jesus is the only one. No pope, no rabbi, no preacher, no pastor, no apostle, no bishop, cardinal, bluebird, blackbird, or whatever they call themselves. I don't care. They're not a master, there's only one. Not a rabbi, there's only one. So they have no right to call themselves master, rabbi, or father. They have no right because God is the only one. Jesus Christ is the only one. And God the Father and Jesus are one. There ain't no more. For you English speakers, there isn't any more. He's the Lion Lamb of Judah. He's declared to be the only one worthy to judge. The only one worthy to open up the first seal. Nobody else is. He's the only one that can judge. To him is given the scroll from the hand of the one on the throne. And that's God. The scroll is a title deed of the universe. Purchased by the blood of the Lamb that was slain at Calvary. Now, it gives him the authority to repossess this world. And what do you do with repossession? The rightful owner. You evict the squatter. Who's the squatter? Satan and all those who follow. Now, the chapters that come after this, chapter 6 to toward chapter 19, chapter 6 to 19, thereabouts, it talks about the saving and judging work of Jesus, and that precedes his return to earth as King of Kings. You recall me talking about the 70th week of Daniel. How many total weeks? 70. End of sins. Did you know? Now, y'all correct me if I'm wrong here now. But the second coming, or the first coming, God gave them an opportunity to be the last. He gave the Jews the opportunity to redeem themselves as they rejected him and the 12 tribes. He gave them a chance to accept him again. Of course, the all-knowing God knew they wouldn't, but he gave them the opportunity. Do you know if, hypothetically, they said, oh, he's the one, he's coming in on the donkey. That was prophesied in the Old Testament. This is the one. And they accepted him as their Savior, as Jesus the Messiah in the way he was. You know that had been the fulfillment of the 70th week? We'd be in a millennium today. It didn't happen that way. He knew it wouldn't. They rejected him again. Of course, the Bible had been written differently because he had known this already. But he gave them the opportunity. The events around the throne occur after the cross. The Lamb's been slain. But now before the tribulation, that's the breaking of the first seal. That's the coming of the Antichrist, the real one. The first seal of the scroll of judgment. Remember the seven seals. And when the seventh seal is removed from that scroll of judgment, that starts the first trumpet. second half of tribulation. But the first seal that's opened is the Antichrist coming to be the man on the white horse to save everything. That begins the tribulation. It's not been broken yet. Don't be fooled. Also, because the presence of the 24 crowned and rewarded elders in chapter Revelation 4, verse 4, it's likely that the church is, some people think, that the church has been raptured. So therefore, the event in heaven followed the rapture of the church. Nobody really knows for sure. But you'll know when it happens. But one's understanding of the tribulation period, talked about in chapter 6 to 19, is determined by whether three series of judgments, the seals, trumpets, and bowls, are sequential or if they happen at the same time. They're in order, but do they happen all at the same time or are they sequential? Sometimes that's not discussed. Evidence within Revelation suggests a sequential view. That is, the seven seal judgments are followed by the seven trumpet judgments, which are then followed by the seven bowl judgments. And so this idea you've heard many times of the birth pangs and all that, they support the sequential view because each set of these judgments is more severe, more destructive than the one before it. So when the seventh seal is broken, the last one, trumpet judgments begin. The seventh seal is broken. That begins the trumpet judgments in Revelation 8, 1 and 2. The seventh trumpet is connected to the bowl judgments, the last. Because with the sounding of the bowl judgments, which are at the end of God's wrath, it comes forth. Now you'll find this in Revelation 10, verse 7. Revelation 11, verse 15. Revelation 15, verse 1. Revelation 8. Revelation 16, verse 17. Now, this is a final set of God's judgment. It's the bowls of wrath. Because these judgments of God's wrath is finished. Revelation 15, verse 1. So, text of Revelation closely connects these three series of judgments from God. So an overview, you got the church age, the tribulation period, the millennium, and the eternity. Revelation 2, chapter 2 and 3. Events in heaven will be 4 and 5. The tribulation period is between chapter 6 and 19. The middle, at the end, is Revelation 19 and Revelation 20. And Revelation 20 talks about the millennium. And then Revelation 21 and 22 is eternity. It's kind of an overview of it. Now, family, none of this has happened yet, if you haven't figured that out already. So many people are saying it has, and yet they can't produce one event that even comes close to it. They say because there's five rivers or two rivers somewhere that's turned red. There we are. Hailstones as big as footballs fell in somewhere. There you go. dead fish, dead birds, and dead cows over there in Montana. There you go. No, it's not there you go. They're trying the hardest. They got an earthquake, blah, 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 somewhere caused by a harp. No, that's not it either. See, the tribulation period progresses as these three series of judgments unfold one after the other. It won't stop. It's going to go boom, 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 boom. Chapter 7, John tells us that the tribulation is not simply a time of judgment, but also of great salvation for those that seek his name, seek his blessings, seek his saving grace. It's to wake people up. Now, chapter 10, Revelation 10, John is told by an angel that he must prophesy again. He lets us know that though we have made our way through the entire tribulation period, if that's the case, have only the seventh and final trumpet to go, some important truth needs to be given. In Revelation 11 to 14, fits much better into the second half of the tribulation. Because chapter 11 talks about that God will raise up two witnesses. Now, nobody knows who the two witnesses are. A lot of speculation. Moses, Elijah, Enoch. And there's two that nobody knows. Different ideas. Does anybody really know? No. The two witnesses will testify for him in Jerusalem for 1,260 days, 3 months. Three years. Chapter 12 talks of the removal of Satan from heaven. That'd be second heaven. And the 1,260 days of persecution in Israel will follow that removal. So in other words, in the second heaven, Satan will be cast down upon the earth. And the fallen angels will be too. Chapter 13 focuses on the two beasts, the Antichrist and the false prophet. They're trying to get you to believe it's Obama, it's Prince Charles, it's Prince William. I'm waiting for Elmer Fudd to come popping up, or Hare Krishna, I don't know. They come up with all kinds of names. You'll know when it happens. False prophet, though, is indicating to be the one called Sananda, fallen angel, taking the name of Yeshua. That's why they're trying to get everybody, all languages, to say Yeshua. Hebrew Roots Movement is behind that, and Sacred Name Movement. Sneaky, sneaky. They'll dominate the world for 42 months. And then, final chapters of Revelation talk about the end of the anti-God system of Babylon. Doesn't necessarily mean Babylon in Iraq, but Babylon is a representation of the Antichrist kingdom, chapters 17 and 18. And it's going to be what? Well, it looks like the revival of the Roman Empire. We talked about that already. Then you have the marriage of the Lamb. That's a great, that's the judgment seat of Christ for the believers to get the rewards, followed by a second coming to earth, chapter 19, the millennium reign, chapter 20, and then the eternal state, chapter 21 and 22. There you got it. Now, I can see that maybe Monday we could talk in detail of these events. Today is an overview of the book of Revelation to give an idea overall. I'm not done. And then it leads us to what God gave Matthew. And they have there what's called the Olivet Discourse. The Olivet Discourse is said to be that a few days before his crucifixion, Jesus Christ outlined a course of future events in this Olivet Discourse. Because it was given on the Mount of Olives. Jesus had denounced the religious leaders He pronounced judgment on the generation of Israel and made it clear that he would not return until Israel returned to him. Matthew 23, verses 1 to 39. Then his disciples showed some new work that had been done on the temple. See, it's going to happen. See, the temple being rebuilt. Bad move. Jesus declared that the temple itself is going to be destroyed. That was 70 AD. And it happened 70 some years later. They left the area, crossed over to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples were amazed at this. They said, wow, you know. They asked him three questions. Tell us, when will these things be? Destruction of the temple. Second question, the time of the Lord's return. What everybody asks today, when's it coming? I want to know. What will be the sign of your coming? That's very important, as it has to do with the fig leaves, fig tree. And the third question had to do with a sign that would indicate the end of the age had come. What will be the sign of the end of the age? So, Jesus answered these questions in this Olivet Discourse. He gives a chronology of coming events. Then later gives it to John when he's in prison. So, as this discourse is interpreted, the question of the disciples got to keep in mind. The Lord's dealing with these issues. It pertains to Israel, not America. Come on, get over it. Not to the church. What church? Churches where two or more are gathered, not the Catholic Church, for goodness sakes. Hardly. And the backdrop of this Olivet Discourse is a rejection of the Messiah. Discipline Israel for rejecting him. In Matthew 23, you think God has changed since then? No. So when America rejects God, well, do the math on that. And that's what they're counting on. They're counting on changing the laws, moving away from the Bible, moving away from God's setup, how things are supposed to be. And when they do that, they know they have some sort of leeway. What they're doing is removing the card from the house of cards. And they think they're going to take it down piece by piece, but the first card they move is going to bring it down, crashing all around them. So remember, the disciples had no idea about the church age coming. So their questions were not about the church age. He's talking about Jesus spoke of the things of all the Jewish people. The Sabbath. He fulfilled the law later. Those living in Judea. 24:20 was the Sabbath. And those living in Judea was 24:16. The abomination of desolation. 24 verse 15. And the gospel of the kingdom. 24:14. And of course, the presence of false prophets, 24:11. And that was going to be a big problem for Israel, as it is even today, in a big way. Pre-tribulation writers always agree, pretty much, of the discourse is indeed future. Refers to the second half of tribulation. Looks at the second coming. There's some disagreement on where chapters 24 and 4 to 14 fit in. Write those down, because you're going to hear it shortly. Some view it as an overview of the entire period, with 24, 4 to 8 looking at the first half, and 24, 9 to 14 at the second half. Others see it, 24, verse 4 to 14, as a reference only to the first half. So, let's see what they got to say in 24.
Matthew 24. And Jesus went out, and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him, for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars, and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye, that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Now, it's 24. All of 24. The fig tree, people are trying to, someone last week tried to convince me that the fig tree was Israel. Well, throughout the Bible, the fig tree is referred to as Israel. The fig tree is referred to as a fig tree. The fig tree is used in several different places as different analogies, parables. Now, in this case, the fig tree is showing the signs of the fig tree as it grows, as it changes in the seasons, that you know by the fig tree the seasons that you're in. Had nothing to do with Israel. But what they're trying to get people to believe, let me tell you why, is that, oh, the fig tree equals Israel. So when Israel formed, 1948, then what they do is they tack on, well, you said a generation was 70 years. There you go. You see, the 70 years is not a criteria set that you use as a factor in figuring things out in the Bible. But they attach it to the fig tree using all of its discourse. So let me tell you why again. Or further, not again, but further. So then they tack on, Israel was formed in 1948, which, by the way, we know is a fake Israel. The real Israel is when Jesus Christ comes down. That ends the time of the Gentiles, not Israel 1948. Sorry, Charlie. Nope, not so. Because you see, in the abomination of desolation, or the first seal, Israel confirms a covenant with the Antichrist. Come on now. That's not right. That's not going to make God happy at all. So judgment's coming again. 70 AD, it happened. It's coming again. When they confirm a covenant with the Antichrist, Daniel 9:27. Where was I? It's complicated. I'm trying to simplify it. It's not easy. So, what's going to happen then is that first seal, covenant, Israel signs that covenant or confirms it, will bring wrath of God down upon them. And then you know about the second seal is the real World War III between Islam and Zionism, which will give rise to the Holy Roman Empire by the middle of tribulation. The Holy Roman Empire, reformed, will march into Jerusalem after being the good guys of the first seal. You say, well, what happened to Turkey? What happened to Israel? Well, they've been destroyed. They destroyed each other. Family, that's already planned. Albert Pike planned that, and God will allow it to happen. That's the real World War III. And then the sixth seal is an earthquake. That gets their attention. The moon will turn red. Oh, yeah. And the sun will darken. Oh, boy. Now God's got their attention. It won't be harp. Harp won't even exist then. Nothing will be standing. Then the first trumpet. Then comes God's judgment. So the Olivet Discourse, for that part, it's very detailed. How's that possible? How can some prophet in a jail cell with no internet, certainly didn't have a modem there, figure all this out? That's coming true today. It's going by the book. Unless it came from God. And see, the Bible's written in such a way that nobody can claim any ownership of it except God. It's just telling you things that happen. Now, back to the fig tree thing. Fig tree thing. They're trying to tell you, that's where I was, they're trying to tell you that Israel, formed in 1948, which is not the real Israel, but they're going to say it is, the generation 70 years, so generation shall not pass, okay. So let's add 70 years to 1948, it gives you 2017 or 2018. Okay, that's when Jesus Christ is coming back. Well, they said that in the 1880s, they said that in 1980s again, a century later. They've been saying it ever since. They've all failed. That's where they get that from. So they're saying now what could happen is that God allows them, because remember I said, once they change the laws of the land, cause the falling away, God's going to allow them more latitude. And they'll fake those tribulations. They'll fake a world war. Then they'll bring in your fallen angel, Sananda, false prophet, to stop it so we won't annihilate ourselves. That'll be the first seal. But they'll claim it's Jesus Christ had come, and that would be the first seal, the one called Yeshua. The Antichrist will be the hero. Extraterrestrial time. It's been planned since 1897. The New Age movement will take over Christianity as planned by the Vatican. Teilhard de Chardin, Jesuit priest, the father of the New Age movement. It'll be the religion, a monetary system, one political system. It's called the New World Order. But it's not going to be like they had planned. That's where the first trumpet comes in. So first, the first seal has got to be a period of prosperity to lull people into false sense of security. And you all that are free, or that are born again, are going to be preaching, speaking out against it. You're not going to be well liked. Let me tell you. You're going to find a very lonely life, to say the very least. Some will come your way, yeah, you're right. And others will say, man, shut up. Can't you see? This is the real Jesus. You see, the Jesus we think is in portraits, holding a lamb, long-haired, blonde-haired, blue-eyed. That ain't Jesus Christ. Nobody knows what Jesus looks like. There's no paintings. Who painted him? Nobody. He didn't hold still for nobody to paint him. He didn't hold still for someone to do a carving. So where'd they get that picture from? How they know? Leonardo da Vinci. Caesarea, Plaget, the Illuminati families, Charlemagne, That's Sanan Emmanuel, the one we see every day. We think is Jesus, is not Jesus Christ. That's amazing, isn't it? Well, when you start telling people that, they're not going to like it. And it's going to get difficult for you. Very difficult indeed. Because people, even in the churches, Catholic Church, Protestant Church, no matter, they believe there's extraterrestrials out there. Some of them believe that God used evolution. Man, the education system's so corrupted. Man, even Hogan's Goat couldn't get an education. It's all Marxist. You'd have a Marxist Hogan's Goat. That's what it's all about. Family, stick to your guns. Has that day come? No. And the other thing I want to mention, by the way, before we go here, and I'll see we move into it next week, this generation shall not pass. Family, connected to what I've just told you, and it says, this generation shall not pass. He's talking about the generation that is experiencing those events in the Olivet Discourse in chapter 24, 25. That's what he's talking about. That generation that experiences those events. Now see, back then, disciples thought, well, is this generation? And then today people say, well, see, God lied. Or God was mistaken. Or wrote the Bible was mistaken. Why? He said, well, generation. He said, that generation, nothing happened then. That's how they try to twist it. But no, it's the generation that is experiencing, going through those points, those events. That's the generation that he's talking about. Whichever it is. It's like, I don't know, musical chairs. What generation is it going to be? And once it starts, no stopping it. There's no stopping it. I was going to tell you something else before we go. After the revelation of John, family, there are no more prophecies. There's no book found in the basement of the Vatican or, you know, if people would say, you know, might say, boy, they're opening up the Vatican. They're doing that, right? The library in the Vatican. Man, I can't wait. I'd love to get down there and look at all these books. Why? It's written by the Vatican. It's some history, so what? Right now, it's too late to learn all this nice little history and all this stuff. Man, it's time to learn about salvation. It's time to get ready for the end times events, and you're not going to find it in the Vatican. No way, no how. Family, they tried to invade England in the 16th century to stop King James. 197 ships. They didn't make it. Storms took them down. Three-quarter ships and the English guns took the rest. Failed. They tried to kill King James in the gunpowder plot. Failed. Two Jesuits infiltrated in the 47 translators. All they succeeded in was to get the Apocrypha put in the middle as history connection. In 1885, they had it removed. Oops, they failed again. God's in control. They're not. However, when the ET events come up, we got a problem. When you're going to see the extraterrestrial holograms and the Sanan Emmanuel, the fallen angels are going to be called ascended masters. The Book of Enoch then will be standing out. Because the Book of Enoch, although fraudulent, talks about these angelic beings accepted by the Muslims, accepted by the atheist, accepted by the agnostic, accepted by Christians, accepted by Muslims. Now, I may have said Muslims. Anyway, Book of Enoch accepted by all of them. The atheists see them as, well, they're not really angels, but they're aliens. And the Muslims call them jinn, J-I-N-N. Christians take it either way, aliens or fallen angels, or angels. That's how it works. Family, we're at the end. Whoa, where did the time go, y'all? So next Monday, we'll cover part two, chapter Matthew 25. And maybe Tuesday, we'll get deep discussion of all of this course. I get deeper discussion about it. And we'll talk about the book of Revelation next week in detail. We can do that. Family's close. And I appreciate y'all coming by today. Thank y'all for dropping by. Family, I learn something every single day. Every day. And I can be sitting here and going over this, and all of a sudden I'll get one of those epiphanies where I slap my head. Wow, I didn't know that. In the second I'm talking about it on the air, things start coming together, you know. Nobody knows it all. No stretch. And it's written in such a way that nobody will. But you will when it happens. But nobody's going to claim prophecy. And no new prophecy has been written after John of Patmos. Nobody's going to come up with some gold manual or manuscript found in some deep, dark cavern, whatever, I don't know what. Some fallen angel or eek teeth aren't going to come with some new document. They'll try. Many will be fooled. Don't you be one of them. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for tonight. Bring us together in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, give us that wisdom, discernment to see through these deceptions going on today. Open our eyes with discernment and wisdom about the end times events. Father, use us in these times to come to witness for Jesus Christ. Father, we do call upon you for our families to pull them in, cause situations to happen, divine appointments, soften their hearts. Because we know, Father, when that tribulation comes, things can happen either way. That will get people's attention, Lord. Just put us where you need us. Forgive us of our sins. We lay them before the cross. Convict us. We fall away. Father, thank you for all the miracles you give us. Thank you for the opportunity that you provided for us through your Son, Jesus. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Family, y'all have a good weekend. Remind you all that my broadcast and Bible studies are played up at highportradio.net. Highportradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, and he's been playing my broadcast and Bible studies for a long time now, I guess, for a long time. New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He has sponsors, and you can go to the website, highportradio.net, locate those sponsors, and if you got to use them in Stockholm, New Jersey, or Front Street, PJ, New York, or Sussex, New Jersey, or Hampton, New Jersey, Port Jervis, it's all up there. New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Matamoros, Pennsylvania, there you go. Anyway, or find out if you need some help or something, whatever. Also, watchmenforjesus.com is my website, and Facebook is Watchmen for Jesus. Thank you for all dropping by, and have a great weekend. This is your Watchman, signing off. Just melted into peace.
Are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. beautiful. I am with you every day to the end.